1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. We looked at last week on how that David and Jonathan was a friendship like none other. That message has still been on my heart. And we're going to see it transpire even more as we study these verses of Scripture, not tonight though. But now we look at how David is perceived by everybody else. How everybody else is looking at him. And how in the midst of everybody else saying one thing or another about him, he still is godly. He still doesn't let that affect him. You know, that's really the case with lots of folks, unfortunately. That really affects them. Let other people say one thing about you positively or negatively, it'll sway them one way or another. Not David. David, as a young man, had a rare thing about him. He didn't let that control him. And that's what we're going to see predominantly tonight, how he behaved himself wisely, the Scripture says. Look in verse number 1. We'll read this passage again. And it came to pass, we're chapter number 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played. They're answering back and forth as they played. And said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me have ascribed thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I'll smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Notice with me in verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Dear Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to take your word and open up and read it. And Lord, it's even a greater privilege to preach it. And Lord, without you, we could do nothing. There's lots of other preachers that could do a lot better job than me tonight. But Lord, our adequacy is not in our talent. Our sufficiency is not in some sort of fleshly wisdom. It's in the power of the Spirit of God. And on this Wednesday night, I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit and help me to feed the flock of God. Help me to be able to feed the heritage that belongs to you. And these people that have come, and they're not come in vain, but we receive something from your word that we can take with us and chew on for days to come. May we glean from this man of God, David, and seek to be filled with the Spirit like he was, to walk in your presence like he walked in your presence, and be like him and make the impact that he made. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to look tonight at godly greatness. David had something that was peculiar about him. He just wasn't great, but he had a greatness that was from God. He had godly greatness. I think everybody wants to be great. But let me tell you something, Christian. You just don't want to be great, do you? No, you don't. You don't strive to be great. You strive to be godly. There's people that are good. There's none good, no, not one. But you understand there's people that might say, oh, those are good people. There's people that might say they're great, but we're not trying to be good. We're not trying to be great. We want to try to be godly. What made David godly? Well, I just, you read the Bible and things just come off the page. The first thing I notice about David is the Bible says about David in verse number 12 and verse number 14, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. That's the qualifier of being a godly man or a godly woman, is the Lord's with you. You're living consciously in the presence of God at 10 a.m. just as much as you're living with him at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. You're living consciously in the presence of God. My Lord sees me, and my Lord is in me, and my Lord is near me, and he is with me. And because of that, I do this and don't do this, right? The Lord is with me, right? Everybody knows one thing right here tonight. Let's all start off on this. We know the Lord is with us, amen? Yeah, he's not only with us, he never leaves us because he's in us. We must be conscious of the truth. The Lord is in us. We've been bought with a price, and our temple, that flesh of yours, is the temple, the housing of God. When you go to work tomorrow, I go wherever I go tomorrow, whatever we do, when we go to the house, we don't take the Lord one place. We don't leave the Lord one place or another. He's going everywhere with us. And because we believe that, that should kind of change behavior. That's the first thing I noticed. The Lord was with him. The second thing I noticed is this. What do you think I'm going to say next? I mean, do y'all already read a passage and think, I bet he's going to say this? Or is that just what preachers do? I don't think just preachers do it. I think a congregation that is so honed in sometimes thinks, I wish the preacher would say this. This is good in the text. Like, seriously. I've sat in a congregation before, and I'm not trying to say the preacher should say this. I'll get back to the text just a minute, okay? And I'll sit there and say, boy, I wish he'd get this. Not that it's wrong or right, but you might be thinking, I bet he's going to say this next. Who thought of this? I bet he's going to say something about the Lord, about how David behaved himself wisely. If you thought that, raise your hand. Sure you did. Because it's four times in the text. And it's next to the times that God's word says the Lord was with him. Look at it in verse number 5. And he behaved himself wisely. Verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15, he behaved himself wisely. Verse 30, he behaved himself wisely. You do good to underline those four things in your Bible. Four places where the Bible says he behaved himself wisely. And twice in verse 12 and in verse 14, the Bible connects those two things together where it says, it couples it together. The Lord was with him and David behaved himself wisely. What does that teach me? What does that teach you? It teaches us that when the Lord is with us, and we are conscious of that, we will 100%, no doubt about it, absolutely behave ourselves wisely. Behave ourselves holy. Behave ourselves differently, right? When we're conscious of His presence. So if we don't behave ourselves wisely, what are we saying? We haven't been living consciously in the presence of God. David recognized the Lord was with them. And everybody else recognized that the Lord was with them by saying, that guy behaves himself wisely. That is godly greatness. Godly greatness is not by what, it is not measured by what you achieve. It's measured by practicing the presence of God in your life. Living in a conscious mindset that God is with us at all times. And we see that principle just flushed out in David's life in every area. When he didn't live consciously in God's presence, boy, he got himself in a mess, didn't he? A great mess. Sin wreaked havoc in his life. But here in this passage of Scripture, seems like nothing took him low or took him too high. He just stayed even keel through everything. He behaved himself wisely. That is number one, the presentation of David's life. This behave yourself more wisely that's mentioned four times. It has the idea of walking properly. It has the idea of walking carefully. This is the scripture that came to my mind. It's Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Walking circumspectly. That's a weird word. We don't use that every day. But that's an old English word that means to walk really, really carefully. It's almost like you're behaving yourself wisely. You're walking circumspectly. Imagine this platform here is a minefield. You're not going to walk haphazardly, are you? You're going to walk carefully, right? That you don't hit one of those mines. That's how we have to walk as a Christian. But why would we walk that carefully as a Christian? Not for people's sake, but for the Lord's sake. Because we want to please Him. We walk carefully. That's what it means for David. Can some way, somebody get me a drink of water somehow, some way. It doesn't matter. That's fine. I just can't seem to do it myself. Thank you. I appreciate it. It speaks of you're more than just yes, sir, yes, ma'am, but in every situation of life, you're careful what you say, how you act, how you respond, because you realize the Lord's watching you. I remember one time that I came across somebody that wasn't walking very circumspectly. They didn't behave themselves very wisely, and I'm sure you've all got illustrations of that as well. But I remember it was on this property eons ago, back when I first came here, and there was a young man, and I had him in great regard, thought of him well. There was a young man. He wasn't up in years at all, but his mama was talking to him. And his mama said something to him he didn't quite want to hear in front of everybody else. And he didn't answer back, yes, ma'am. He got a little attitude, little rebellion came out of him. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? He didn't want to in the presence of everybody else that was of his age. Are you tracking me? He didn't want to say, yes, ma'am. But he wanted to give a little buck because he didn't want to show himself to be submissive. Thank you so much. So you know what I say? That's not behaving yourself wisely. I learned something then, and I'm sure this young man has hopefully grown past all of that. I'm just using that as an illustration. I was there, okay? But at that moment, I learned something about it. He never learned the secret of submission to his parents. And he looked really, look up here. He looked really, really foolish at that moment, when before I thought he was very wise. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And we can all do that. I remember my dad telling me, and I'm preaching to young people probably here right now. We'll just have youth group for a little while. I remember my daddy telling me, he said, I was probably, how old are you, Alexia? 13? I was probably a year or two older than you. And there was this young man that was about 20, and he was always... Now, I'm hyper, okay? But you should have seen me in high school. I mean, good grief. I mean, you know, you didn't need to give me any coffee for energy, you know? Yeah. But this guy was 20 years old, and he was just over the top. Just, you ever met one of those people like, this is a little much? Everything was a joke. Everything was funny. Everybody was a joke. You ever heard that? You try to laugh at everybody. You know, that's not behaving yourself wisely when you pick at everybody, laugh at everybody, and belittle everybody. Kind of get a witness there. That's not Christian character. I mean, we can pick at each other, laugh at each other, but when it's all the time, after a while, you're going to demoralize a person. Okay? You are. You're going to ruin your testimony. You're going to be the one that's looking like the one that's not wise. So anyways, my dad said something. I know you like that guy. I know you like that guy a lot, and he's fun. Everybody likes him. Hey, cut up with that guy. He said, but I can about guarantee you, I hope I'm wrong. He said, I bet you there's something deep down wrong in that man's heart if he has to act that way everywhere he's at to camouflage something that's missing deep down inside. He said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But Justin, you be careful about hanging out with that guy. He's probably got some real problems inside, and he has to act that way to cover all that up. He's probably right, wasn't he? And many times people act a certain way and act out that way because they can't walk. The Lord's not with them. See, David didn't have to do anything like that. You don't see David carrying on, do you? No, we're going to get into this. I'm giving this as all just kind of as an imagery for you. David didn't have to do any crazy stuff. When crazy thing happened to him, he just kept the same the whole time. This is what we're going to talk about, okay? The presentation of his life, number one underneath that, he behaved himself wisely through all of his promotions. He didn't act any different than he did before when he killed Goliath, did he, Curtis? He acted just the same. He didn't have any fanfare. He acted the same. The Bible says in verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Saul sent him out, and he did exactly what Saul told him to do. He goes, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. Don't you know who I am? I done conquered Goliath. Some people have a victory, and their great victory is their greatest failure because pride goes to their head. It's not a victory if it makes you proud. Yeah. And he behaved himself wisely. And guess what Saul does? And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. When he got promoted, when he had the success and he got promoted and got all the fanfare, it didn't bother him. He believed, he didn't believe that he had really done anything in his own power anyways. He did it in the name of the Lord. So he didn't let anything come to him. He believed, hey, this is just one step. I might have had some success from the Lord, but that's just one step. What is this, just Goliath? I've still got my whole life in front of me, right? And many times people think, oh, wow, I did this and served the Lord this way, and I've done this, and whatever you might think. And that pride comes before the fall. Pride comes before the fall. We haven't done anything. If you've done anything good, you did it because Jesus Christ is living inside of you. We don't do anything good. That's what the Bible says. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. We do it through Christ. So when he got promoted, that didn't bother him. When the Lord allows us to see a victory or two, don't let that go to your head. Think that is nothing. And then he behaved himself wisely when he had problems. You know it. It's in verse 14. He's getting Saul to throw a javelin at him. The Bible says that David is sitting over here playing a harp. And Saul's sitting over there playing what? What's Saul got in his hand? A javelin. Both men have got something in their hand. Yeah, that's right. And he's over there playing. Just like he did before. The Bible says it just like that. The Bible says it just like that. He just played it just as before. What's that teaching us? Nothing changed. He said, God made me to minister to this man through the gift he gave me. I'm going to keep doing the same thing I did before. Even though I just had the great victory, nothing changed. Why? Because he lived consciously in the presence of God, and he did what God had called him to do. And a lot of people think, well, now that I'm here, I'm not going to do that. I'm above that. I can't, I'm not going to do that. I'm above that. I can't go to those people or those people. We've forgotten where the Lord brought us from if we're that way. And he played the harp. Now, I don't know. I'm just thinking to myself, I'm thinking he hit a couple sour notes, dodging that javelin. No, really. There's only one thing that you can attribute his safety to. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord was his safety. The Lord was his fortress. That Saul was a man of war. And the only reason why David didn't get killed was Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad Jesus is our safety? And Jesus is our fortress. And Jesus is our shelter. All of us, sometime in life, and you don't even know when, should have been dead. Our children should have been dead. Or should have died. I know situations where my children should be dead. And not sleeping in bed tonight on Moore Road. Who knows something like that in your own family? Say amen. The Lord is our protection. He's our shelter. But David behaved himself wisely in the spite of those problems that was going on. But you know what? David behaved himself wisely in a delicate time in life through when there was all kinds of life possibilities. Not only problems, but possibilities. See, David is at a crucial spot in his life. You realize David right here is at a spot in his life when he's defeated Goliath and he can let all that go to his head. I'm telling you what, young people, look at me. You're in a tender spot in your life right now. The decisions that you make today will affect your forever. The next decision that you make can be some of the most important decisions. Some of you are saved. Some of you have surrendered your life to serve the Lord. But that ain't nothing, Jack. Nothing. I'm glad you did it. But by the way, everybody look right up in here. Right up in here. We all should be surrendered or we're disobedient. Ain't no big deal that you're surrendered. Everybody all right? That's just normal. If he gave his last blood for you and I, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. That's common stuff for a normal Christian life, right? You young people, you're saved. You want to do what the Lord wants you to do. The next most important decision you've got in your life is not any other decision, but whether you get married or the person that you will marry. That'll affect the rest of your life. That'll affect the rest of your life. And you better just behave yourself wisely in that situation, because if you don't, it'll affect the rest of your life. It don't matter if you're called to Nigeria or called to Valdosta or whatever you feel like the Lord wants you to do. If you get that one wrong, that's a big deal for sure. Hey, there's grace in the Lord and there's mercy in the Lord, but that's an important decision. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, you can't be too careful. You can't be too careful. Hey, Brother Strom, if I were a young person, I'd pray about whether it's God's will to be single the rest of my life than get married to the wrong person. For sure, I definitely would. That's what my sister told me. She said, Justin, have you prayed? I'm thinking about praying about marrying April. I maybe even engaged. She goes, have you ever prayed whether or not it's God's will for you to be single? Why is she doing that? Because she's a little mama. And she wants to make sure that it's God's will for my life, even to be married to start with. That's how important it is. We think of marriage as some flippant thing like we can... No, that's not flippant. That's not a contract. That's a covenant with God, and that's a padlock with no key. Marriage is a padlock with no key. Serious, serious business. My dear friends, I want to tell you, you got to behave yourself wisely when you're young like that. And God will give you direction. But I tell you what, David didn't let it go to his head, anything that he did for God. Because when we let things go to our head at this moment and juncture of chapter number 18, when you get in your chapter 18 and you let things go to your head, I'm telling you, the devil wants to swell us all up so big, because that's what leads to our failures, is pride. When pride enters, you on dangerous ground with the Lord. When everybody's singing your praises and everybody's telling you you're great, you're such a great Christian, you've got a great gift, you've got great this and great that, I'm so happy for you. Boy, the devil just wants you to open up both ears like garbage cans and just tell me how great I am. And you know what? When you take all that in, you're at the worst spot in your life. Because before destruction cometh pride. Before pride cometh destruction. David didn't let that happen to him. The Bible says, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own. It will not be puffed up, true love. So David just kept to himself and just stayed with the Lord, faithful through everything. He behaved himself wisely. Not only do you see the presentation, but you see priorities in David's life that are just simple. I've already kind of alluded to some of them. I want to know what your priorities are tonight. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to unto you. What are your priorities? What is your priority tomorrow? What is your priority this week? What is your priority for the Lord? Say, I'm not going to do this. This will get done before I do this. This is number one. What is your priority? Well, I'll tell you what your priorities are. It's whatever you've had as a priority the last couple of days. It's what you've done before anything else. That's what it is. You going to work is not your priority. I got to go to work, feed my family. I know, brother. I know, sister. But your priority is the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we think, well, I'll wait to pray. I'll wait to read my Bible. If there's one thing we've got to protect as Christians, and I mean protect it, it's our alone time with God every single day. That means the Lord will be with us. If you don't protect your private time with the Lord, then the Lord will not be with you. You've got to get that Bible open. You've got to read it and pray and get alone with God. Brother Sammy Allen said, the best young advice I'd ever give to a young preacher is to tell him this. First of all, you better know for sure that you're saved. Second, know for sure you're in the will of God. And third, all of your life, protect your private time with Jesus. And spend more time with Jesus than you do with the brethren. Spend more time with Jesus than you do with the brethren. I wonder what David was doing on the backside of that field. He was spending time with the Lord. He was communing with the Savior. He was loving his Lord, praising his Lord. He had a priority. See, David was surrendered. The Bible says in verse number 10 that David played with his hand as other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. David was surrendered. That's what God called him to do, and he was going to do it. It didn't matter what kind of evil was around him, that's what God gave him to do. David was also submissive. The Bible says that Saul told him to do different things at different times, verse number 5, verse number 13. And David was submissive, even though it was to a man that had the evil spirit. Sometimes in life you won't have the best people around you. Sometimes in life you won't have the perfect situation, but you don't serve people for people. You serve people for your God. You understand that? Some of you are waiting for the perfect time to give it all to God, the perfect time to follow Jesus. God's not going to have you a perfect laid out map to follow Christ. He's waiting on you to say, now, it's all yours, Lord. God's not going to work on our timetable. He's not going to say, well, I think this would be a good time for them to serve me. No, now is the accepted time. And David was submissive even when things were not the way they ought to be. Verses 11 through 13 teaches about that. Even though the javelin in Saul's hand, Saul kept the same, David kept the same spirit. Look here. If Saul would have thrown a javelin at me, or anybody else would have thrown a javelin at me, if I wasn't filled with the Spirit, that would have been the last day I would have ever been in that place, right? I'd have been out. And probably you too. But what was different about David? Why did he behave himself wisely? The Lord was with him. He lived consciously in the presence of God. That's what made the difference. And our priorities mean everything. Not only the priorities of David's life, but I want you to look at the perception of David's life. The perception. This is what people perceived about him. Well, Saul perceived correctly the Lord was with him. And he saw that the Lord was with him. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says he was afraid of him. Why in the world would he be afraid of David? David wasn't fixing to hurt him. What's that afraid really mean? He was intimidated by him. He knew he had something that he was supposed to have. And by the way, when you walk with the Lord, you'll have a little bit of that. You don't have to create it, but you'll have it. But don't act like you're better than them. David just kept the same, didn't he? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him in verse number 12. That was the private perception of David's life from King Saul. Seeing King Saul hated David, wanted him dead, conspired to ruin his life through deceit that we'll study in verses 17 through 25. That's what Saul thought of David. And then the public eye as well. Look at verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people. Look at that. And also in the sight of Saul's servants. All the people saw the difference in David's life. Saul's son and daughter both loved him. Saul's subjects in verse number 16 loved him. And all of Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. That's an interesting statement. He came out and went, the Bible says he, verse 16, he went out and came in before them. What's that reference? He didn't sit on a chair and do nothing. He was in and out among the people. He was a man of the people. See, one great victory against Goliath didn't change who he was as the servant of the Lord and a servant of the people. He went out and in among them. He wasn't any different. See, that victory didn't change him, did it? And they loved that, by the way. They loved that. They appreciated that. And they received him. And then you have the women singing his praises in verse number 7 all the way to verse number 9. Or verse number 8. The women answer. They're playing and dancing. Saul slain his thousands. David his 10,000s. That's the public perception of David. And David isn't impressed at all. Seems like David isn't nearly as pressed with David as others were. Seems like today people are more impressed with themselves than other people are impressed with them. They're more full, they're more congratulating themselves than other people congratulate them. We live in a really weird, sick world. And a lot of it stems from what you know what I'm going to say next, social media. Seems like you can't do anything or nobody can do anything without for the Lord without posting it on Facebook. It's just really sick. It's weird. By the way, let me give you a little advice. Leave some things to just be with the Lord. If you're going to pick up trash on the property, let's not put it on Facebook, amen. And I know nobody's done that, but it gets about that bad sometimes. Really, it does. Leave some things up to the Lord enough to where He'll actually get the glory. Right? David behaved himself wisely. He didn't respond to all that. The Bible says some things about this. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Amen? That's a great verse. Bible says in Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves on themselves, are not wise. That's That's what the scripture says about that. David didn't have that. He possessed a quality of humility that is very, very rare today. When everybody else was singing his praises, he didn't get up and toot the horn anymore. He let the Lord, or let other people, sound the trumpet about his life. And he didn't say much at all. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 18, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." And we learn that from David's life. You're going to get perception from people. All of y'all are going to get perception from people. You're going to get perception. You're going to have people say different things about you. You're going to get people to compliment you from time to time. I remember a young preacher said to me one time, "What do I do when people compliment me after I preach?" I said, "Give it to Jesus and say thank you." You can't let it soak in. You got to give that to the Lord. Compliments, you might want to smell them, but don't swallow them. They're kind of like perfume. Have you heard that one before? Yeah. Don't take them in. You have compliments, and then you'll have criticism. Criticism, depending on who it's coming from, is usually just somebody just after you. And you just leave that with Jesus too and keep moving on. But there's compliments, there's criticism. And then the third one we all need, and that's counsel. The Bible says where there is much counsel, there's safety. There's safety. Now, compliments and criticism, just kick them out for the most part. But counsel from good people, from an older man, older woman, that's exactly what anybody younger in here needs today. That's what I need from men. I've got something that I'm dealing with right now, and it's been bothering me for weeks. I don't know what to do about it. It's all right. You ever get in stuff like that before? You just don't know what you should do. Well, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call somebody that's 70 or 80 years old, and I'm going to ask them what they think. I'm not going to call and ask Michael and Peter about it. They'll tell me what I want to hear. But I'm going to call somebody older because there's safety in that. And they won't tell me what I want to hear, hopefully. So you're going to get perception from people's lives from time to time. And David had a lot of compliments, but I don't think he ever let them go to his head. But some people, they couldn't serve God another day if somebody didn't pat them on the back. They couldn't serve God another day if they weren't gloried over. Let's just smile at one another and say, let's not be that way. Let's serve Jesus for Jesus. Amen. That's just small. That's small. The power of David's life, and we're done. If you're looking for something powerful, something that blows your socks off, you didn't come to the right place. The power of David's life is verse number 12 and verse number 14. The Lord was with him. That's what made David special. That's what made David great in the eyes of the Lord. He had a relationship with the Lord. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David knew God in a personal way. Do you know the Lord? Do you talk with Him? Do you live in His presence? Do you commune with Him throughout the day? Or do days go by where you don't talk with Him? Do you read His Word and His Word talk back to you and He speak to you and tell you what you ought to do? He lives in you. And that was David's resource. The greatest thing in our lives as far as a resource is the Lord Jesus Christ. We think we need this, we think we need that. All we need, brothers and sisters, is Jesus. He's our resource. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I don't think we really believe that like we ought to. Our sufficiency, Paul said, is of the Lord. You need sufficiency for something? I was talking to somebody earlier, and they know exactly that I'm talking to them right now. But I'm telling you what we were talking about, whether or not something was the will of God. I said, if it's the will of God, God will make a way. If it's the will of God for you to do something, you don't got to worry about anything at all. God will give you the power to do it. Don't doubt it at all. Just walk in faith, do what God tells you to do, And now you might not, you might be scared. You ever done something for the Lord and been scared before? Well, how is this going to work out? But I'm telling you, God will give you the sufficiency and the power that you need. Our greatest resource is God is with us. His greatest asset is that he walked consciously in the presence of the Lord. Godly greatness, that's what we talked about tonight in the life of David. How? How did he have godly greatness? He walked with the Lord. He was with the Lord. The Lord was with him. What's the character in the Bible that we think is so great? So great. And the Bible says the Lord was with him over and over again. You're going to track it back to Genesis. What was his name? Joseph. The Lord was with him. Man, you're talking about a godly man, right? Man, you're talking about doing great things for the Lord, right? Saving a nation. Bringing his family back together. What was it? What was it? How'd he do it? The Lord was with him. How'd this happen with David? How did he feed Goliath? The Lord was with him. That's the key to every life in here. That's the key to your family, Daddy. That's the key to your family, Mama. That's the key to this church. That's the key to everything that you do. I mean, you mark it down. If the Lord's with you, he'll bless you and he'll prosper you in his ways and in his timing. The Lord was with you. That's the how of godly greatness. Here is the what of godly greatness. Say, somebody's great. They're great in God. What's it going to look like? He behaved himself wisely. They sang to him, woohoo! And he just, nothing. Water, like water off a duck's back, right? Threw that javelin at him, flesh didn't rise up one bit. I'm here where God put me. I'm supposed to be in this chair playing this harp. That's where God put me. I'm just going to stay right here and God's going to protect me. I'm not going to get too high. I'm not going to get too low. The Lord's with me, so I'll behave myself wisely. A lot of people prove that the Lord's not with them by the way they react to situations, by the way they respond to situations of promotion or situations that are problems like the javelin being thrown at them. But when the Lord's with you, and your mind is stayed upon Jehovah, doesn't the scripture say you have perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Jehovah? Just right there, just fine. Paul said, I've learned how to abound and I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to be at the top and I've learned how to be at the bottom. And then what's the next verse after that? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's what Philippians 4:13 is talking about. I know how to be at the top and I know how to be at the bottom. David would tell us tonight, I knew how to respond when the javelin was getting thrown at me, and I knew how to respond when all them ladies were singing about me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What do you mean? The Lord was with him, and because the Lord was with him, he behaved himself wisely. I don't know about y'all, but I want to walk consciously in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I need him tomorrow. I need him the next day. I don't know about y'all, but we need him in this church. We need him in our family. I need to have the Lord with me as a daddy. I need to have the Lord with me in everything that I do. Anybody else? We need him. And when we've got him, we've got everything that we need and so much more. Every head bowed and every eye closed, she's going to come to the piano. And maybe as you stand together in this small congregation, you say, boy, I want the Lord with me. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to live with the Lord. I want to walk consciously in his presence. I want to be that person like David, the Lord being with me. I want to behave myself wisely. Maybe you want to slip out of your seat. Well, I'm going to come to the altar here in a little bit. And say, Lord, let me walk in your presence. As she begins to play, just slip out of your seat. I want the Lord to be with me. I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to be your little David. I want to be your servant. That's the key. It's not what you do. Not what position, not what task you have. The key is the Lord.